Hi, welcome to Pod as a Woman. I'm Eli Olsberg.
And I'm Teresa Lee.
And all right, so we're on the last two tracks of the official original Positions release. We didn't get to
Yes.
Deluxe yet, which we are going to cover. We actually got some DMs asking that. I
Oh,
forgot to
did
tell you, Teresa.
we?
Yeah, we did. We got
Ooh,
some DMs
okay.
from some Arianas. Well, first off, they said very nice things about the pod, but they also were
Oh,
like,
that's nice.
one of them was saying that, like, well,
They were
actually, a few people
clamoring
said,
for more episodes.
yeah, they were like, you got to cover the deluxe, because they had argued that some people had argued that the deluxe songs were better than a few of the songs on Positions. I don't know if I agree with that, but
Are they talking about, oh, interesting. I like Test Drive, but the others
I love
also.
Test Drive. I was listening to it last night. I actually just started going through the deluxe tracks again last night after, like, I kind of gave the album a break for a week, and I think Test Drive is like the best one, but actually all of them grew on me even more. So yeah,
Well,
so
I guess
who's
we'll have to
our
cover it, so that's a little tease. But
yeah, exactly.
let's not tease our guest anymore and
Yeah,
let's
who do we have
introduce
today?
her. We have Gabby Iorio. Oh my God, you literally just told me how to say your last name and I immediately fucked it up. Iorio.
Yes.
Iorio. Okay. Is it Greek?
It's Italian.
Oh, okay. Well, Gabby,
Fitting, I
you have a
guess.
podcast of your own about Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
What's the
what's it
podcast
called?
called?
It's called Young, Beautiful, Successful. So it's
Yes,
inspired
great
by the
name.
song Successful by Ariana.
My favorite song on Sweetener.
Oh, really? I love that.
Eli's
I love it
favorite.
so much. That's a wonderful name for the pod. And how long have you been doing the pod?
I've been doing it since 2018, December. So I actually think we started around the same time, both of our podcasts,
Yeah.
which probably says a lot about just when Ariana's prime started, I guess, which
You're
we're still
right.
in.
Yeah.
It's like a multiverse, you know what I mean? Like talking about the singularity. It's like we are in parallel universes. We had journeys towards Ariana.
Yes.
And here we are
And you
merging.
started yours in New York. We started ours in LA. We
Oh,
covered
right.
the coasts are covered. Yeah.
Yes.
We actually recorded our first episode the day after Thank You Next came out.
Yeah, it was wild because we were like, let's talk about Sweetener. Okay, but there's a whole new album out now. Wow.
Yeah. Our original plan was just to be like a one-off
Yeah, just a
Sweetener
capsule.
pod. And then the next day she was like, well, or the day before we had already booked our recording session. She was like, well, here's a song that literally is like gonna be in the zeitgeist forever.
Yeah.
Like Thank You Next is used in conversations now.
Yeah. Wait,
So
Gabby,
we
I have a question for you regarding your because of your podcast title. So I have a theory that Just Like Magic is like the sequel to Successful. What do you think about that?
I've heard a few people say similar things
Oh, really?
that just like Magic could be like a sequel to Seven Rings, because it's kind of like a
Oh, okay. Seven Rings is
spiritual.
a little more like flaunty though, but I feel like Successful is just like I'm happy and I'm doing good.
Yeah, I do feel like they're definitely similar, but Just Like Magic just brings in more of like the spiritual
True.
manifestation side. But I can definitely see how they're connected and kind of that swaggy, I'm successful and I'm just gonna own it kind of way. So I love
Yeah.
that.
So let me ask you, when you tell us what we always usually have with our guests is just kind of the Ariana, your Ariana history, like in terms of when you first found her, how big of a fan you are. Obviously, you fully stand like we do because you have a pod. So just kind of like some background on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like so I'm 24. I was a little younger.
Rad.
I was a little bit old, slightly too old for Victorious, but I still watched it because I have a younger brother. But I remember the first time I heard Ariana sing was her YouTube cover of "Die in Your Arms" by Justin Bieber, which is like a pretty. It was a pretty like high
Yeah.
production YouTube cover that she did. I was like, wow, she's so
I gotta look
talented.
that up. I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah, she still has the red hair in it, and I just remember always knowing she was really talented. And I remember not being super into her songs until Focus came out. I was obsessed with Focus,
Oh,
and
interesting.
yeah, and I remember I actually went to SoulCycle for the first time. That was the first song that
Wait. So, Focus, that's interesting because that's a song that was released as like a single that was going to tease the new album, and then it ended up just becoming like a B-side to it. Or maybe that was the
I like
plan the whole
Focus a
time.
lot. I think it's underrated.
It's
I think
super
so too.
underrated. I was obsessed with Focus, and I think I wasn't super sold on Ariana yet, though. I think in the like first two albums, because I think a lot of fans talk about it now that it seemed like she was hustling so much, and she, some of her like persona was kind of lost in a way during that time, or like she was just really like in the machine at that point. And I felt like I didn't fully connect with her yet. But the Dangerous Woman era is when I really started to be more interested in her. I remember she did SNL that year, and her whole aesthetic like changed in Dangerous Woman era. She went from being like the cattiers and being kind of more sexualized to then in Dangerous Woman, her SNL promo shoot was she was in a pantsuit. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. It's like a whole new look. And also she was talking a lot more about feminism at that time and just kind of coming more into her own voice. And when Sweetener came out, it was like the only thing that I played just like constantly. Yes. And that was when I became a true stan for sure.
That's and so interesting.
No, you go ahead, Teresa, actually.
Well, I was just going to comment on the aesthetic change is interesting because I don't think I ever like I never crystallized it. Like when you said that, I was like, yes, that's true. But I didn't label it that way. But that makes so much sense because she does get criticized for being sexual. But like, I think she really like was so like, let me just take control. Like she's like, I'm sexy and I'm a boss. And it's not a question which one. But if you think about Sweetener, it kind of goes back to some roots of like the like baby, everything sort of like sweet pinkness that makes it solidify that she's not like branching away from her youth. She's like, this is all me. These are just parts of me. And now just get over it. And I feel like that's solidified after.
Also, because I think that she, when you look at her earlier stuff, I don't think is reading too much into it. It's just like her early stuff. It was like the small little cat ears and then it became bunny ears. But then she even changed the bunny ears.
Like,
hold on. Well, that's okay. So you kind of beat me.
I'm sorry. Okay. Take it again. Right. Edit that out.
Like, okay. Here we go. It's okay. I, it's time that I get mansplained. I think that she like literally halfway through that like promo cycle was like, I'm going to change the bunny ears to like SNM bunny ears. That's how like much she was like, here, I'm very, and I don't know if that has to do with like, cause at that time, that's when 50 Shades, the movie came out. And that's when what I learned is that like sales of those kinds of like just floggers and masks and whips and stuff like that, suddenly it skyrocketed because of that movie. Even if it you know, wasn't the best representation, I guess, you know, there was a lot of detractors, but I think that helped. It's not like, I don't think she saw it and was like, I'm going to do that. What I mean is it's all kind of part of like the mainstream subconscious. And I think she probably felt more comfortable doing that. Also, she was in her 20s at that point. So, you know, it felt less, you know, it wouldn't feel as like weird or overtly sexualized kind of in the way you were talking about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I love that point.
The 50 Shades thing, because she's not on the soundtrack, but The Weeknd and Taylor are. And so I wonder if like Ariana doesn't not get asked to do
that. Oh boy.
So I wonder if she just was like, I don't want to do it.
Let me piggyback on that for a second, because the difference, what's so funny is The Weeknd was on the first one, and that actually felt like an appropriately sexual song. And that Zayn Taylor one was for the sequel. And boy, did that feel like a PG-13 song. I mean, it's so wild, like how I was like, really? This is what they're going to follow up like Worth It with? Or I'm sorry, was Worth It the name of the song? Or Earned It. Yeah. I was like, really? This is what it's going to follow? Because that Earned It video even had like Dakota Johnson spinning and like tied up ropes. And and then Taylor Swift was like, this is, it almost like is...
It's very mommy, like it's like a housewife looking out the window at the mailman like
it has that like cheap paperback like feel to it, which kind of it really speaks to the series, I think, more. That almost actually fits more than The Weeknd, and even if Ariana were to do something like that, I think I would argue they're like, you know, The Weeknd, I think that was just the right time for him to do that. You know, are you and Gabby, are you, in terms of like other prior to Ariana or even now, like are there other pop stars or performers that you really like or that you you follow a lot?
Definitely. I love music in general. I listen to probably every genre, but I love I love Janae Aiko is one. It was one person's probably.
Oh my god, that's like one of my tops.
Yeah, one of, she's one of my tops. I love Nicki Minaj. I feel like definitely grew up with Nicki. I love Miley. Taylor, I love. I actually feel like I took a break. I like loved her at the beginning, and then I kind of fell off. But then with Lover, I feel like I came back. Now I'm a fan, a huge fan again.
Yeah, I feel like we're similar. Like Taylor, I love to. Yeah. She's an easy target in like a lovable way. But like I don't not like her. It's just that like sometimes she'll just step into it. But Janae, I'm curious what your What are your like? You don't have to say your favorite because if you don't have it, but like, what are your top songs? Like a few that you like.
Top songs of Janae, so many. I really love all of her music. One of my favorite songs that immediately comes to mind is her song "Promises," on her album "Sold Out," I think, and it's just written to her daughter, and it's really beautiful. And then, what songs? I mean, I love her new album. She's nominated for Album of the Year tonight at the Grammys. What songs do I love on there? 10,000 Hours. Triggered.
I love the ones. One I've been playing over and over, like New Balance from
her. That's one of my favorites.
So good. It makes you cry. I really want, I'm like hoping one day a Big Sean, Janae, and Ariana collab happens. I feel like it would just troll the audience so much, but also it would be very good. So it's like, please give it to us.
That would be very interesting if that ever happened.
Yeah, if it did, I feel like it would be, it would have to be Ariana's track and they would feature. I feel like the other way around is going to create too much of a, like, you know, well, specifically because
people... Or Janae's track, then it would balance out. If Janae let's say Ariana gets married because she's getting married, and then it really neutralizes the situation, and then we're just getting three powerful artists on a track, and then they're supporting Janae's rise, because Janae deserves a lot more recognition in the mainstream than she's getting. So if she's coming, and they probably know that, so like, give both of them featuring for Janae, I mean, that'd be fire.
Does Ari still talk to Big Sean? Like, is there any indication of that? I haven't seen it. My understanding is they broke up. They're on good. Yeah. Oh, okay. Please.
So there was a rumor, or they're actually photographed. I think it was, I want to say it was February 2020, or was it 2019? It was.
Okay.
They were photographed together leaving the studio or at a studio. And so everyone was wondering, like, if he was going to be on her album or if she was going to be on his album, because they both came out with albums last year, Ariana and Sean, but nothing has happened yet. So we do not know.
Okay, but that's interesting. That's good to know. So they're in there, they're conversing. I'm guessing Thank You Next after that probably reignited some conversations. Not even romantically. I mean, it probably just put everybody in a place where, like, they probably, because it doesn't sound like, what's funny is when we do get to the tracks that we're going to review today, I thought Obvious wasn't, and for people listening, we're obviously, you already know this, but just in case, we're covering Obvious and POV, and Obvious I thought was going to be, as much as I love the song, I thought it was going to be a hop, skip, and a jump to getting to POV, but there is something in Obvious that I found that lists her dating history, so this is going to tie very well into it. Yeah and not in a judgmental way. It was an interesting, I was like, oh, this absolutely has to be talked about, because it really it's interesting when someone, because what's fascinating about like Ariana's dating life is she does, even if Thank You Next didn't come out, it didn't sound like most of her breakups ever really hit the tabloid, aside from obviously her more recent ones. They never really hit in a way, you know, people weren't like, Ricky Alvarez and Ariana split, and this is what happened.
Right.
But, you know,
he wasn't famous.
Right, exactly. And that's true. And then, like, you know, whereas I, when Taylor writes a song, you know, again, Teresa's right, it kind of is an easy target. But when you hear a Taylor song, and I'm in the same boat, by the way, as both of you, like, I had to take a break after 1989. Mm-hmm. But I will say I revisited Reputation recently, and I have come around to it a little more. It's nowhere near the top of the canon for me, but I do think it's a better album than initially, because I when I first heard it, I was like, there's like two really good songs and I don't know what to make of the rest of this album.
I actually love Reputation.
I like it a lot more.
And I think there's some connections between Reputation and Positions we can talk about.
Ooh.
Oh, all right. Okay.
It'll come up later.
Yeah. Okay, good. What happened was I went to, so when LA just got their first Alamo Draft House about a year and a half ago, one of their first they started a dance night once a month in one of the auditoriums, and I went to a Taylor Swift dance night. They just show her music videos while everybody just fucking parties. And I went with our guest of our first episode, Ellie McIlvain, and let me tell you, she totally turned me around on some, while we were listening, because some stuff came out that I hadn't heard in years that I liked, but boy, did I love it even more. And then when we got to the Reputation part, I was like, wait, this is better than I remember. And I think it was just, also that maybe on a personal level also wasn't a great time for me. So I associate, I associated that album with some garbage. And so that, like on a personal level, and now I'm like, okay, I don't, I'm a big fan of disempowering things. So if I hear something from that era, I don't want it to have to associate if I can help it. So listening to it again, also, I was like, oh yeah, this actually slaps, and it doesn't affect me thinking of whatever I was thinking about during that period.
That's how I feel about Blank Space. That I love that era. I love that album so much, but it really ties into like stuff in my life. So when I hear it, like it's hard to not think, but also I like, I'm like different. I like that like cutting feeling of like immersion. Like I like to hear things be like, I remember those immersions.
My next question for you, Gabby, is what was your first, have you seen Ari in concert?
Yes. So I actually saw her in concert twice in 2019. I went to Sweetener Tour twice. Once in Detroit, which is where my family's from, and the tickets were so much cheaper there. So I was like, I'm going to go see my family and then go to the concert. And then I went for the second time for the second leg. I went in Brooklyn for the Christmas themes, which had the Christmas theme set.
Oh, like the winter things and stuff like that. Oh, nice. God, that's such a good, I wish she would just like do an interlude where she just played that for, because it's a 15 minute album. You know what I mean? It's so short. Yeah. That it like would totally that was the one thing I thought of with the second leg when she did it here. I was like, oh man, I really would love to see her perform Winter Things live, especially because my Ari tie-in is that I'm from South Florida. So I'm from Fort Lauderdale, but I went to college in Boca Raton, and so I'm just like, when I hear Winter Things, she specifically, when she says, you know, it doesn't get cold where I'm from,
right,
that's I know. And I love it so much. That like hit here. I'm pointing to my heart for people listening. I realize I'm like, we're on a Zoom. So when you saw her in Detroit, did you see her at the Palace?
No, the Palace has closed. RIP. But it's interesting, actually, she stayed at a hotel, the detail that, so that I know, she actually stayed at a hotel closer to the Palace, which was interesting because I think it's far from the venue she actually was at, which is Little Caesars Arena, which is in downtown Detroit. The Palace is in Auburn Hills, like from the city. And she actually stayed at a hotel closer to there. So I think they must have like booked her in the same hotel that she had previously gone in, but it was a brand new arena. So she had to come pretty far to the arena, like an hour drive.
Yeah. I've been to the Palace. That's why I asked. Mm-hmm. When I was doing a music festival that had a comedy stage, it was at the Palace.
Oh, cool.
So the parking lot was the stage, but the, and then the actual, arena was catering. It was very weird, but very, very like, so did you go there a lot growing up to the Palace? Was that like a place where you saw concerts?
Yes, definitely. I went to the one that only one I can think of right now is I saw Avril Lavigne at the Palace.
I saw her at the Greek. I saw her at the Greek about 6 months before the pandemic hit. I saw her here.
Wait, did you tell me that?
I documented very heavily on social media.
It's like stuff got erased when we went into
it. No, totally. I mean, I barely, like, until I heard you say Avril, I was like, when did I see her again? And I was like, yeah, it was right before. It was during that tour cycle where she came out with the song about like overcoming like all her recent like major obstacles. Something about the devil. I don't remember the name.
I fell in love with the devil.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. She played two songs off her new album. She clearly, I respect that she knows. She's
knew
like,
her audience.
I know, yeah, yeah. Her I know where people song. Came from. Yeah. And she played a really deep cut called He Wasn't from her second album.
I know it.
Oh, yeah. I love that song.
I've met her before.
Oh,
I used to work in fashion, like very tangentially. In college, I like worked for a video magazine that wasn't very big, but we would like interview people around Fashion Week, but it was all like the B-sides of Fashion Week, because around people will try to jump in with brands. So she was working with like a brand that wasn't like officially part of Fashion Week, but then they had a party mm-hmm. during Fashion Week, and we set up a little booth to interview her. She did not look very happy to be there. She was like dressed very much in a way that I'm sure they're like, you got to do the thing, like in the tutu and the, you know, mm-hmm. Hot Topic striped tights, and very much was like, I could tell she was like, I'm 30. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, she totally got she still has fun with it now. You can tell, like, when she was on stage, like the screen behind her had like, you know, a pink wall with skulls on it. You know, she was still doing the Hot Topic-y thing, but she also was like she was dressed as a grown up.
I bet it's fun for her fans though. Like, she probably has a different vibe when she's in front of her fans that help bring her up versus like happy to be that version for like a bunch of like suits, you know?
And she also hit, man, when she was performing, she hit all the high notes. I loved it.
So talented.
Truly didn't get, I feel like, we've talked about this on the pod once, I think very briefly, but I have this, I could write like a whole essay on this, and maybe one day I will, but I think that, I think the early 2000s was one of the most influential periods for female pop singers that got commodified into a Hot Topic thing. And thus we failed so many musicians. There was Fifi Dobson, who should have been huge. I still listen to Everything by Fifi Dobson. That's a perfect song. First album,
if you're hanging out with lesbians, Fifi Dobson is definitely not underrated. It's very much mentioned all the time. An icon.
And then like there was a bunch of, you know, Ashley Simpson obviously I think was the most egregious one.
First one was Pink, who really just got totally branded as her own thing because she was a pop star who's so talented, but then they're like, you're gonna like come out against like Britney and Mandy and Christina and be like the alt girl instead of just being like, you are you. So she Pink, I feel like, I mean,
she held her own though. She's had a very successful career. Pink.
Oh, yeah, totally. She, yeah, and I think Pink had a. My theory. Well, I think with Pink, she wasn't marketed as a teenager in the same way. You know what I mean? Like when Pink's music came out, she felt a little more like an adult. Whereas, like, you know, when Avril and Ashley and all of them, it's, even like the less popular, like ones that were kind of like smaller one hit wonders, like Sky Sweetnam and stuff like that. They all were I just got out of class and I'm going to play the guitar and while the boys skate and I'm going to fuck my own shit up. God. You know what I mean? Like that was that whole period. And I don't think any of them, with the exception of I don't think any of them, if you really were to like talk to them, they wouldn't tell you like, oh yeah, I was influenced by Jawbreaker or whatever, you know, punk bands they were trying to make it seem like they were influenced by. And that's not on them. But I do think that like that period. And so I think Avril's obviously still having a good time. But I feel like she should be doing like, she should still be in the arena circuit and not like in the Red Rocks amphitheater. Like, you know, the 8,000 cap amphitheater.
It's weird.
It's still a good position to be in, to be clear.
Position, speaking of.
Yes. Yeah, let's do it. Sorry, one last question, Gabby. How were the concerts for you, the Sweetener tour?
Amazing. I feel like they both kind of came in like points of life where I needed them, and they were like very healing for me. I feel like live music kind of always is. But I mean, the vocals were amazing. I think something else I like about Ariana is she does kind of build this like female fantasy world, and you go into the concert and everyone's dressed in costumes and wearing the ponytail, whatever. It's like a full experience. So many cute outfits everyone's wearing, and the whole set with the moons and everything. Transcendental for me.
Oh, and for us too. Yeah. I mean, We went to the first leg, and we went to like one of the only ones, sadly, that she didn't have Victoria Monet come out, because that was when they did Monopoly. And I think she showed up like a day or two later to sing the song with her. But and Teresa and I also went to, right before we started this pod, we actually got to go to Sweetener sessions.
Oh, wow.
Honestly, yeah. When I think back, I'm like, that was, because the concert was really cool and I was so looking forward to it. But having the Sweetener sessions first and now looking back, like that holds a really special place because yeah. It was just her singing the whole time and no opener, nothing. And it was like, wow, we got a lot of Ariana.
Yeah.
Oh, and wow, I would have loved that.
Yeah. And she, I mean, it's in the small space. Everybody mm-hmm. obviously is like, I mean, if you're there, you are a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And like, and then watching her like sing stuff from like My Everything in acapella and, wow. And like, she did Be My Baby in acapella. And, what else did she perform?
Did she do Honeymoon and, Avenue or
no, Moon no, she did, she did, oh, and she did Only One.
Oh, I love like, that song.
It's such a good song. And then she did, the rest of it was just Sweetener beginning to end, with the exception of, for some reason, The Light Is Coming didn't make the cut.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a weird thing because it's like, you could have cut Blazed or something else that was like a little more, you know, like a song that's fine, but one that we could, you know, like Light Is Coming was like the big single at the time.
Right.
I very feel weird. Like she didn't like I have, now that you say that, I feel like my theory is that wasn't one that she necessarily liked that much. I like that one a lot, especially with the beat. But the reason I say that is because not only that she didn't play that there, but also the music video was like, we watched the behind the scenes of it and it's kind of like, it's Dave Meyer, so they got all the people, mm-hmm. but it's, right, you could right. tell she was like, whatever. She didn't seem as invested emotionally in the song.
They
so
filmed it like in the dark in a forest and she wasn't into it.
Yeah, totally.
She was just like, okay, I trust Dave, whatever.
Yeah, they were like, let's just make the Blair Witch Project and you guys just hang out, get through it. Okay, cool. All right, so yeah, let's jump into Obvious. It was written by Ariana. A lot of her usuals wrote the song with her. Tommy mm-hmm. Brown, Stephen Franks, Neja Charles, Travis Sales, Peter Johnson. Oh, Josh Connerly and Ryan Tedder, for the singer of One Direction, wrote this. One Republic, right?
One Republic,
God, I cannot believe I just said One Direction. Wow, that really speaks to so many things about One Republic, One Direction. I mean, for people who don't know, if they're listening, they had one very big song called Apologize in the 2000s.
Ryan Tedder's now is like in every commercial or something.
I know. Yeah. Well, Ryan Tedder's written a lot of big pop songs. I mean, he's been around for like decades and he's probably written other Ariana songs, I'm sure. And he had like the classic, like every person who is like a very prolific songwriter in the industry usually obviously starts as wanting to be their own singer, and they always usually get one shot and they get one song and then they kind of disappear again. This happened most recently that I can think of was with Bonnie McKee. She had a big song called American Girl like around 5-6 years ago, and it was like, it wasn't even like a true, it didn't like break through completely, but I think it was like a top 30 or top 20 Billboard song for like a couple weeks. Apologize is one of the ones that, you know, obviously really hit.
Yeah.
He's not a producer.
Here's what else he's written for her.
If you have the computer pulled up, I'll list the credits. Please pull it up. And it was produced by Tommy Brown, Stephen Franks, Travis Sales, and Josh Connerly. Gabby, what we do is we go through like just stuff we could dig up on the song, but also we go through Genius.com's breakdown. Yeah. Of the album, because it's very, very fun and obvious. And actually, we find that we, even if the stuff's kind of like really batshit or like so left of center, it still gets for some interesting introspection.
This is interesting.
What's that?
Says in 2014, she wrote, or Ariana said she enjoyed working with him on Why Try.
Oh, that totally tried. Yeah. Interesting. That totally makes sense. Like that era specifically, I feel like leading up to Dangerous Woman, she probably just had the usual kind of like, she just probably got the big names that could come in and do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, aside from the Swedish team, I'm blanking on their names, Ilya. Max Martin, obviously. Sovin. Yes, exactly. Like they obviously came in, I think, especially during Dangerous Woman and Onward and really, really made some fucking bops for her. Like they are, what's that?
I have a theory. I mean, I have a little tidbit about them. I mean, it's not a fact, but it's something I've been thinking about with the Britney doc, because they've written a lot of stuff for Britney too, right?
Yeah.
Julianne Savon. And I realized watching that, how many people around these like big pop stars, the ones that you hear of, like that you see their faces, tend to be like kind of cash grabby evil weirdos. And then I think about like Ilya and Savan, and we bring them all the time, but they're really just like, you can tell by looking at their history and the people they continue to work with, like there are ways to know like who the quote unquote good people are. I mean, it's never surefire, but to me that's a sign of character, is like you continue to grow and work with stars. And it's almost unfortunate that sometimes those stars get manipulated and out of the arena, but these guys, you can see like there's a reason these people keep working with them. And they're not like putting their face out like, I wrote this, like they know and they're working and they're chill. But to me, that's like sign of their character, as opposed to like sometimes the manager.
Well, I think the thing there where you can kind of detect the pattern is who found who. Is the producer responsible for that pop star taking off, or is the pop star the one who consistently brings that producer back?
Scooter Braun's an example. Even though he works with her, she doesn't mention him a lot, and he does have like his, I mean, I'm not saying he's totally evil, but he definitely has a lot of like putting himself in his you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
And then she's never like, she puts a lot of her people on camera and she doesn't bring up Scooter very much at all, like unless she has to. She really is, he's not like featured in any of her really documentaries.
I wonder how much of that is that's interesting, because he does, well, what's interesting is, aside from Justin, because he does rep other people, you know, he reps Carly Rae, which, as you know, huge fan.
Yeah.
I love Carly Rae so much, and she's never really one to be like, oh, I'm with Scooter, you know, I think also Demi is with Scooter now, right?
Yes.
I'm saying he's probably good at his job, and I'm sure they've managed to keep their whatever, but I imagine they set boundaries with him, and knowing they are so open about some of their other behind the scenes people, and not just to give them clout, like some of the people, like Ariana does bring up people who like otherwise would be unknown, but also I feel like she's like calling out people that are known. So it does, like, it's like those things that's like the unspoken. I'm like,
I wouldn't be surprised if Demi joined Scooter just to spite Taylor, because she really does not like her. It's like wild how often she'll just, like, it's the clearest, it's not, I wouldn't even call it a subtweet. It's just, it's like the most overt subtweet in the history of subtweeting is always Demi's like, well, I don't know, if I personally was a blonde pop star who had transitioned from country music to pop, I would, like, that's literally her style of tweeting about.
Very catty. I don't necessarily look down on them for work, because the thing is, Scooter, to like, I don't think he seems like a great guy, but he just seems like a greedy guy. Like, he's not, so far I don't hear any abuse
and
things.
Greedy,
like, he
definitely one of my favorite Ari songs.
Well, I mean, he's doing business shit that's like not necessarily great, but he's not like, ugh, it sucks that you have to even draw that line, but it's like, I don't think Demi and Ariana and them would work with him if he was like actually abusing anyone. The business thing sucks, but that is kind of how that business is, unfortunately. So I feel like they all know, like, we're gonna get into it and then like slowly draw our own boundaries and figure this shit out. And Taylor's like, I'm gonna fuck shit up. Thank you, white woman. I mean, good for her. I'm not mad at her, but it is just
So what do you think of these songs, by the way, Gabby? Like obvious and positions in general, actually. That was the one thing we forgot to ask.
Yeah. Obvious and POV.
Yeah. I meant positions like the album as well. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Positions as the album, I feel like it's still growing on me. I'm not sure where it ranks for me overall yet, but I do really like it. And I think kind of what I was saying earlier about how I see some comparisons with Taylor's Reputation, I just feel like it kind of has, I think it doesn't get credit for having a storyline of basically Ariana saying, like, I went through all of this and then I found love at the end. Which is pretty much the storyline of Reputation as well, of like, I went through hell and I came out of it because I found love in my life. And I really like that. And I think the deluxe songs that come after POV also really showed me how in love she is with Dalton. And that was one of the biggest things I got from listening to Positions at the beginning, was just kind of an update on where Ariana is in her life. Mm-hmm. And Obvious.
It's your little blog update.
Yes. Obvious is actually my favorite song on the album, so I'm very happy I was invited for this episode.
Yes. You're the second person to say that, by the way, that we've had on the pod. We had another guest who was Katie Karasik, was a huge, huge Obvious fan.
Yeah, I think it's just, I just love it. I mean, it's just something about it that I personally love, but I think the lyrics in it are really good. I love when she's like, I just want you to never leave, like getting, what does she say? Getting steps up on the treadmill while you're sleeping. Like mm-hmm. it just paints a image of love that is what I would like in my life. And I also think it's sort of when she's like, I couldn't make it more obvious. Like, I feel like that's also how I am in relationships. Like if I really like someone, I will make it completely obvious because like, she's like, no shit. You got me right where I want it. You got me right where I cannot speak. No shit. Got me right where you want me. Something like that. Yeah. I feel like, mm-hmm. like that's exactly how I am in like my dating life. It's like no bullshit. Like, if I like you, I like you. And so I think that's also why it resonates with me personally.
I love that. It's interesting because it's come around a lot more, but honestly, I gotta say, I just judged by the title because I was a huge Christina stan from like Genie in a Bottle.
Oh.
And I had that album. I listened to it over and over. This was like, you know, CD and a Discman. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
So like there are only a few CDs I was allowed to buy and like they were played all the time. So I really liked that Christina Obvious song. So I always, mm-hmm. like, I haven't heard a lot of songs called Obvious. So when I saw it, I was like, ah. I can't, my brain cannot compute two Obviouses. But now, yeah, that you're saying that and I listened to it, I do like it more. But I think I really, like, didn't give it that shot in the beginning because I was like, you're coming for Christina's title.
You know, for me, it rotates, like, you know, I have my top three songs on here. If I make a top five, it mm-hmm. rotates on fourth, like sometimes mm-hmm. something else will come and bump it out, but it'll always yeah. be a number four or five there for me. And more and more I listen to it, I love the song because it not only lyrically is very fun and like in that yeah. same in that way that you're talking about, like that romance bubble,
yeah.
I think it also sonically, like her voice mm-hmm. hits all the notes there. She's not just doing her low-key thing, she's starting to flex the muscles again.
Totally.
I initially didn't give it its due because it followed Positions and it came before POV, which is
right,
you know, Positions you kind of associate with the album itself because it was the first single, and then POV is like really powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the top songs about self-simping. I love to simp, and so simping for yourself, I think, is something I gotta think more about.
You know, this first line that you have here makes me want to believe in love. I think it captures why I like this song, because it's like you're saying, like it's really real about love, but it's not delusional. Like she says, it's like makes me want to believe, where she's saying like I'm beginning to hope again without this like yes. delusional, like I'm jumping all in. And like, so I feel like her and Pete was like, she wanted to, but then she was like, skip the part where she needed to heal, where she's like, I'm in it, catch me. It's like, ah, but then this is like, I want this, but I'm not quite there yet, but I know that's where I want to go. And that feels to me more real, you know?
And what it says here, that it makes a good point. And Gabby, you're the first person I think to point this out, like on the podcast, besides like when we have guests on, is that there is a story here, and mm-hmm. the way she ties so many of her songs together from mm-hmm. previous albums, I mean, sometimes even in the same within the same album, but like here they kind of, someone points out that you know, about Makes Me Want to Believe in Love, that it mm-hmm. also says that she's saying about not looking for love anymore in Bloodline, which is just an album yeah. ago, where she's like, I ain't looking for my one true love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that ship sailed away. And it also, they screen capped a since deleted tweet here from 2018 in which she says, actually, I don't want no next. True love doesn't exist. Hope you're yeah. having a great day. I remember that tweet.
That's so true.
I remember that.
That's such a tweet. Because it's not just saying, I don't believe in love. It's like, I hope you're having a great day. Exclamation point. Bye. End yeah. of sentence. I'm not discussing this anymore.
Yeah, that's fun. That is crazy that was a month after Thank You Next and about 2 months before. It's dated here on December 1st. And then she says, I'm praying we don't fuck this up. Mm-hmm. And it says that she may be referring to her previous relationships. This mm-hmm. is what I pulled up, what I had referenced earlier about her dating history.
Okay.
Genius.com. Oh, wait, real quick,
can I say praying? God is a woman. Who is she praying to? Is it herself? Mm-hmm. that it ties into POV if you think about it. Okay, anyways.
Yeah, you're right. That's a very astute observation. So it says here Ariana may be referring to her many, they put this so casually on Genius as if there's not a big bullet point following that says, here's a quick rundown of her previous relationships. So this is what we got. She dated Jai Brooks. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes.
Ariana and Jai dated for around a year in 2012, but everything came crumbling down when Jai publicly accused her of cheating on him with Nathan Sykes, a fellow singer who I believe, were they both in The Wanted? Do we know if those guys are? Nathan Sykes was in The Wanted.
Okay.
That I knew.
Jai was a YouTuber, and I think he's Australian.
Okay, that's.
I think he's in the Jake Paul world. Jai.
Oh really?
Troublemaker.
No. Let's see. Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, Australian YouTube comedian, prankster, stunt performer. Oh, that just sounds. That sounds insufferable. As soon as you put prankster. I can't clock out harder. Like, it's
honestly the best credit he's ever had, because now when people look back on her history, they'll keep looking him up to be like, who is this guy? Like,
yeah.
Oh God. And they met through Twitter. That's interesting.
Oh gosh.
The Wanted, I remember, that's funny. They were like, it is funny that they hit like a real, you know, they were like the Backstreet Boys to The Wanted, or to One Direction's NSYNC, or however you want to look at that, either, you know, depending on who you stand. But they only really had, at least in the US that I can remember, Glad You Came, I think, was like the only big song I can really remember from them.
Oh my God, Jai is a twin. I have a twin brother named Luke Brooks. And an older brother named Bo Brooks.
And only other thing I know about Jai is the rumor is he broke up with her on the first night of her tour. Must have been... And she cried on stage.
Oh,
like towards the end of the show, like opening night.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It seemed like he was doing, I mean, I don't know about the details of the relationship, but all the public stuff sounds like very YouTube-y looking for attention. Him accusing her of cheating and making a video, things like that. Yep. It's like, do you actually care, or are you just trying to get?
Yeah, it sounds totally sounds like a commodity thing, and like a business decision for him. Jeez. And then she obviously did date Nathan Sykes for a little bit. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem to be very, I mean, I know that was public info, but it doesn't seem to be really talked about in any way. And then
besides, they did those two songs together, Almost Is Never Enough.
You're right. Yeah. And, oh my God, I forgot about that.
And Over Again. That's the only reason why I feel like he's relevant, is just because they did duet.
You're right. Yeah, they did. And that's funny, because that's a song I specifically remember, Almost Is Never Enough. About 2 years ago, I want to say, I started listening to her first album, Yours Truly Again, like a lot. Like, I was listening to a lot, and I forgot that even Big Sean is on that album.
Yeah.
And
Mac Miller.
Mac Miller, yeah.
Three boyfriends on one album.
Wow. That's in retrospect, a flex to say the least.
It's like me walking into a UCB party back in like 2014. Wow, I've
hooked on a year. That's around the same year. I think I took the pledge to never date another stand-up. I was like, nothing where I can run into someone I know. Let's see here. And then obviously she dated Big Sean. So there was it seemed like for however long she dated Nathan Sykes, there was a bit of a gap between Nathan Sykes and Ricky, and Big Sean. They dated.
Wait, only 8 months?
Yeah, well, that I remember. I they didn't date too long. I remember that it was
She moves fast though, because if you're creating art with your partners and getting it out, it's like you kind of get to skip forward through emotions if you're like being authentic, because you're like, sometimes it takes months to process an emotion, but if you're like, I know what it is, and you're like, inner song, and then you like sing it over and over, I feel like you fast forward a little bit.
Yeah, I
disagree.
Well, yes, to a point. I actually agree to a point, but I think that I would say yes if she was like in her 30s doing that, but I think when you're at that age, I think everything is still through the filter of business, and I don't say that as a negative. I mean, I just think a lot of celebrities when they break up have PR where they're like, we're still friends, unless it's something where there's like a really egregious, like, and also if your fame is built on that kind of like kind of fueling, almost like a like being your own paparazzi in a way, where you really like sensationalize things. I think she like I said, it's almost like a neutral thing where she's like, well, how do we want to handle this? Do we want to just be done and never talk again? Or, we have our song that we put out. There's like a bunch, I don't know. There's a few ways you could approach that. But what do you think, Gabby?
About like going dating someone that you made a song with, or
how fast she moves.
I think she loves really hard, Ariana. Yes, and I think that being in a relationship is something really important to her. Mm-hmm. Just like she's always in a relationship. And I think obviously everyone's different. And I think that for some reason, like having a boyfriend is just like part of who she is in a way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, she's a Cancer.
Yeah. And so I think it's very true if you look at a lot of the timeline, her relationship timeline, it's like very, very quick person to person. And I wonder if some of it is just that she's like this beautiful woman. And so like when you date her, it's like a guy just like gets swept up into it. And it's like you're dating this really famous, beautiful woman that all of a sudden you're just officially dating. I don't know if that's just how it works.
Yeah. True. I imagine there's no in between. Like you're in this life, you're out. You can't really half in, half out.
Well, I think she's in and the unfortunate, this is, I think, way harder for women, is that when you're at that level of success, you know, if you're going to date someone who's not as successful, it's tough, because that first off is going to, like, any guy who doesn't feel like a breadwinner, that's like classic patriarchy business right there. But like also she also needs to date someone who gets the, you're going to have to make specific decisions about how you handle your day-to-day life. And I think at least some of the, a lot of the people she dated, it almost seems like there's no middle ground where it's this person like Dalton or Ricky who are successful in their own right, but will never have to understand that level. I actually don't know how successful of a realtor Dalton Gomez is. I mean, he obviously tends to work on million-dollar properties in Los Angeles. So probably like in commercial real estate and is very wealthy. But what I mean is like, it's like a type of success where it's independent and also almost you can approach it indifferently to whatever Ariana needs. Or you have to date someone who's also in front of the camera a lot and understands the level of attention that comes with it. So they know how to handle avoiding paparazzi or whatever. There's apparently a whole subculture of celebrities who know how to wear prosthetics to pass for day-to-day people. Brad Pitt does this. I think I was on WTF. He talked about it. He was like, I remember he was like, I've done that a few times. He's like, sometimes it's a really bad job and you just get really lucky not being noticed. But he's like, also, he's like, I do still have one. And Mark Maron was like, what does that look like? He's like, I can't tell you or else that's going to give it away.
Yeah.
Apparently there's like a very specific way that he can. So I don't know if Ariana has that luxury. I think anyone who has tattoos, unless they're wearing long sleeves, but I think that it is funny. I picture there are probably some pop stars who have like a very specific, who probably have these disguises.
Wild.
Interesting. I've heard Taylor does that in London, that she wears a wig or something.
Yeah, I could totally see it. She could. I think
her frame is so recognizable. Like, she's so slender and tall, and she definitely has like a walk that is. I wonder if she changes her walk. You know, like every time you see Taylor, she's a little bit like, she's not actually hunched over, but she has a feeling.
I know
that she's
what you mean.
Tall, and she's like,
Yeah. Oh, I can see her. Yeah, she totally could. I bet she does change it up. I can totally see it. You're right. I mean, she does have a very specific look, but I do think she also can just pass for a white woman. You know what I mean? Like if she puts on a wig.
Or a man. Have you seen the If I Were the Man video?
You're right. Yeah. That's true. That was a hell of a makeup job. All right. So we have also, and then obviously Ricky Alvarez, one of Ariana's backup dancers, and relationship rumors were sparked when they kissed on stage in 2015. Ariana was caught on camera with Ricky licking donuts without paying for them, which resulted in a huge scandal, and she hinted later they were over. However, Monopoly by Grande and her good friend Victoria Monet, which came out in 2019, lists Ricky as a director in the YouTube video description. And if I remember correctly, he also did some photo work and design for the Imagine album artwork.
Yes, he did. I think there was some, they were hanging out a lot in like the lead up to Thank You Next, the album coming out. And I think there was some like speculation from fans, like, are they hooking up? Like, are they friends who hook up or because I don't know, they haven't really been hanging out as much anymore, but they were hanging out a lot during that time around New York City.
Mm. Well,
maybe she got out of a big breakup, and maybe, yeah. I don't necessarily, I mean, who knows if they're hooking up
or they're just good friends. Totally, obviously.
Yeah, it seems believable that just be kind of familiar and they're like friends, and he knew her from before she had this crazy like narrative. So now,
yeah,
you know,
I also think that when people, this kind of goes back to what I was talking about, where like you have a certain type of, when you're at a certain level of success, I also think that, and I've heard variations of this. When you're at that level and you're like dating and like that kind of stuff, it takes on an entirely different scope. So like, yeah, they probably were hooking up. I'm sure at that point they literally are like, even if they, whether they were or weren't, doesn't really matter, because it's like, well, she's a person whose move is being tracked every way she goes. And so if this is how she needs to like have fun for a little while, it's probably how she's doing it, because there's only so many people that can keep a secret or be discreet. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So true.
So it's like, I can just imagine looking at dating as like, you probably just look at it from an entirely different lens.
Right.
You don't have the luxury of looking at it any other way.
Do you think any celebrities go out and hook up in prosthetics? Because
they
just want to get fucked.
Well, we talked about this on an earlier episode, I think, where Brad Pitt is coming up here. This is just coincidental. But back when he was dating Angelina Jolie, there was this story about how they had just had a casual day out. And what they did is they rented a very well-tinted Mercedes and literally just drove around all of LA for 4 hours. And apparently doing that, they had the time of their life. They were able, and I think it's because they probably had a driver take them, and they knew the paparazzi was following them. And when the Escalator, whatever they were in, came out of the garage, they probably followed that one, and then they just got in the Mercedes and took off. But they were like, oh yeah, we got to see all these spots that we used to hang out at when we were still you know, well, more Brad Pitt than Angelina Jolie, obviously, but he's like, you know, when I was just like delivering food and I lived at this condo in North Hollywood, we just drove around LA for hours. And so I picture celebrities totally in prosthetics just doing that. They're just like, oh my God, I'm just picking up a drink at Starbucks.
If you wanted to go on a date and you wanted to have sex, but you don't want the whole thing of like someone being like, I had sex with a celebrity, you just like put on a prosthetic and and go on a date, and then
I also just picture like at a Starbucks or somewhere, they're like, oh my God, that barista was so rude to me. What a rush. Like, cause you know, people are going to be obviously very nice to you when you're at that level. And it must be like a change of pace just to have someone treat them like shit.
I feel like that's a rumor I'd want to start, not actually doing it, but you know how like, what's his face? Who's the celebrity who always like shows up at places and just puts his hand behind people? I'm totally blanking, but it's a comedian.
Bill Murray?
Yes. And he'll just cover people's eyes, and then they'll turn around and be like, now you can say, no one will believe you or whatever. But I kind of want to a celebrity goes around and tells people that they go on dates when they're single and it's consensual, and if the person likes them, they go home and have a like hookup or whatever, but they do it all in prosthetics. That would start a rumor to be like, how do you may have fucked a celebrity and you don't even know. Like, it's a thing. Celebrities are out there.
yeah. Oh my God. That sounds like so much fun, actually. Like, yeah.
Because it's still consensual and they're enjoying it, but you just don't have to be like Brad Pitt or whatever. You're just like, I'm just Tom Jane and I'm having a good time on a first date.
Did you say Tom Jane or Jane?
I don't know. I just made up Tom Jane.
No, because there's an actor named Thomas Jane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played like the Punisher or something. Yeah, that's so funny. That's just funny that you picked a random name and you actually ended up on a celebrity's name.
Okay. Corey Walforth Tom. That sounds not like a real name.
Okay, sorry. I thought my recorder had died. Okay. So nope, we're good. We're firing on all cylinders.
POV.
So wait, before we get to POV, I don't want to skip the two. Well, it was just the other two people she dated, which we already know the answer to, which was Mac Miller and Pete Davidson. We don't even need to.
What
really
about the guy from
the
Social House? I feel like
I'm very skeptical about this. I thought for sure, I keep going back and forth. So I thought for sure at the time throughout the tour they were hooking up. It just seemed they were spotted going to Disney World together and they were like holding hands. I thought for a while that something was going on with them, but it was never confirmed. And then she was dating Dalton. So I don't know.
Ooh, maybe I been a cover up.
I mean, it could have just been like a thing where they like really hit it off for 2 months, and then she's just like, you know what, this doesn't work for me. Yeah, because that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they had obviously had fun. They made a song together, and then they
kissed in the video.
They kissed in the video. They opened for Ari and Normani and like on the Sweetener World Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think what else. Like it was like a really consolidated 3 month thing that just ran its course, and I think that's fine.
Perfect after breakup.
Yeah.
And it seemed healthy because he didn't really, the fact that we don't hear about it means that whatever happened, he seems respectful. And
it's also, we don't hear about him anymore though, which is interesting. And I think
yes, he
unfollowed them. There was a bit of like, she was unfollowing a lot of her friends and people last summer. It was believed she was unfollowing people who weren't speaking up about Black Lives Matter, like within her friend group. And they were part of the people who were unfollowed. But it wasn't like confirmed why she unfollowed them. But I don't know. I feel like she's not really associated with them anymore, even though, and I don't think they have any writing credits on Positions. And they wrote a lot of Thank You Next.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. They have like not almost, it's all like, what's interesting about Positions is it's all mostly with like a few exceptions when she has like her features and stuff. It's a lot of her like core people from the last few albums that weren't like Max Martin and or Pharrell or whoever. And I'm curious to see, I have a feeling after this album, because I kept thinking about it, I'm like, man, after Thank You Next, where can she really go with this? And this is actually like, I thought was the perfect follow-up to Thank You Next, because you can't follow up something that powerful. That album has so much going for it, not just in terms of like how good the songs are, but what they mean and where she was. That was like a truly very specific thing that few pop stars can actually do in an empowering way in terms of like the timing, and so this was actually, I think, the perfect follow-up. But I have a feeling after this album, I could be wrong. Maybe it depends on where we're at, like in terms of post-pandemic stuff, because she obviously probably wants to tour the album. But outside of that, I have a feeling that we may get Max Martin, we might get that stuff back, because I think the last few albums have been a lot more chill. Like Dangerous Woman was the last album where we had like straight up club bangers. We haven't really had those since then. No Tears Left to Cry almost hits that, but that's the closest, I think. But like, I have a feeling that Ari's gonna come back now that she's done the introspection. That's what I think.
Interesting. The Dangerous Woman hive is real. I think there's a lot of people who say that Dangerous Woman is their favorite album, and it's because it's her most like perfect pop album, pretty much. Like, I think it'll go down in history as like one of the best like true pop albums. And so I think a lot of those fans are waiting for like, when are we getting Dangerous Woman part two, or like, when are we going to get her next like return to
pop? Well, because it does have, so it has like so many, Be All Right and obviously Into You is like a classic. And
Smash.
I think Greedy is a masterpiece. Also like Let Me Love You.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. And like, it also has these slow songs that are part of what we're getting now. It's like the perfect mixture of that.
Yeah.
And her previous albums had that too. Like My Everything had Love Me Harder and the song that Harry Styles wrote, Just a Little Bit of Your Heart.
Yeah.
But it also has like, Problem and like a lot of really, really good like poppy songs. When she played that medley at the Sweetener World Tour, I lost my mind, because she played You'll Never Know, which is my favorite.
Yeah, I love it.
It's such a perfect song. Like, that's a perfect pop song.
Yeah.
But then she also played like other songs off that.
Did you play Honeymoon Avenue? I keep feeling like
she didn't play it on ours. I couldn't believe it. Like, I heard that she played it on other like, especially on the European leg of the tour, she played it a lot. This happens a lot. Bands that play like when they go, or musicians in general, when they go overseas, they tend to play deeper cuts, because they cut like, they'll even play B-sides, because a lot of the international releases have those tracks as bonus tracks. And now that streaming's around, it's kind of made that irrelevant. That used to be a big thing with CDs. That was kind of because, you know, they didn't go to Europe as often, or they, you know, they only played like once every year, year and a half. That was kind of their way of
you gotta cram it in there.
Yeah, exactly. And so like they would play a lot more inaccessible tracks because they don't play as often. I just don't know how true that is anymore. But all right, so yeah, let's get into POV. It was written by Ari, Taylor Parks, Tommy Brown, Stephen Franks, and the one wild card in here is someone named Oliver Frid, who also produced the track with Tommy Brown and Stephen Franks. And let me just say, this song is, I think, a great, great song. It's not in my top three, but it is another one of those ones that hits the top five and rarely leaves it, because it lyrically, I think, is so powerful. Gabby, what do you think of the song? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it might be in my top five, too. I think I love an Ariana ballad. Mm-hmm. And I know it was interesting in the Pitchfork review of Positions, the album was critiqued for not having like an intro song like a Moonlight or Imagine, like not having a big vocal moment at the top of the album like Intro or Honeymoon Avenue, but I felt like POV made up for that because the big vocal ballad is just saved for the last song. Ooh. Are you okay? No,
go ahead. Yeah. Sorry. I just wanted to move this so I could see it if it flashes. Okay. Sorry. I think we're good, but just in case. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I think it's definitely a fan favorite, POV. I loved it at first. I don't feel like I play it a lot anymore, but I do think it is very good. And I think fans are really excited to see this live. I think it will really fill up a stadium very well.
Yes.
And vocally, lyrically, I love it. I think also throughout the album, you get a lot of these like R&B vocal stylings from her, where I feel like in like classic R&B, you have this feeling in the vocals of like longing, and like you just get that in POV, which you really feel the emotion in the way that she sings the song.
Yes, totally. I think that she, well, also, it really occurred to me, I've never heard a reflective song that actually says to the person they love. Like, the thing is that they're singing this to another person, but about themselves in a way that I have never heard before, which is like, I love to see me from your point of view. Right. I've never even thought of it that way. I've never been in a relationship. Yeah, because we're all our own worst critics. And I think about in past relationships when you know, anyone I was dating was like, why would you say that about yourself? Or why do you? And I'm like, oh, that's right. They see me as this way more capable person than I see myself. It's probably... Mm-hmm. It really is like, it's not just that people challenge you to be better people. It is, if you really stop and think about it, it's just people who see you in a way that you should be seeing yourself. That they like excuse all of those shortcomings. Just thinking about it is making me like emotional.
Yeah. Can I add something? I texted this to Eli already, but I really got excited about this one because I wrote a short film last year that during the pandemic, I was going to try to shoot it, but then the pandemic happened. And in it is a girl who, I mean, it's meant to be funny because she's treating it like group therapy, but they're in just like a marketing research group where they're just like, what do you guys think of this commercial about yogurt? And it's all about self-love. But she reads the whole letter she wrote where she's like, I never received a love letter. I just want one because I want to see me through the eyes of someone who loves me. Because maybe if somebody loves me, then I can love myself. And when this song came out, I was like, oh my God, this is my character. She's doing the thing. She's like, I want to be loved, but like through your eyes so I can love me. But I do relate to that, but I don't think it was a thing I felt was like a concept that existed. I think that's why it was funny to me. And this song to me crystallizes like, this is a feeling. I think it's universal. People respond to it.
Yeah, it's like the line in the song, she says, learning to be grateful for myself, and the line of baggage fading, and those were references to Needy and to Thank You Next.
Yes. And I also think that like, oh God, there was something else I was going to say about like the self, like, which is that like, also when she sings, like this is where I think social media has its positives. I still don't know if they outweigh the negative psychic damage that's happening on a international level. But on TikTok, there was like a POV challenge, you know, where people like used the part where she says, "I love to see me from your point of view." And they, and I, it was like a way of people, all these, and obviously it was mostly anybody who's not a fucking straight dude, you know, but like showing how they look really, really beautiful with their makeup and with their makeup off, all the super cuts, and watching it was really like, I was like, oh, this is very inspiring. It's one of the few times I like scroll through TikTok and I'm like, wow, this is very like beautiful.
That's so sweet. I think there's a little bit more to, cause this is like, I mean, for background, Gabby, I really did a 180 last year. So everything I say now, if it's gag cringy, it's like, I'm with you, but I fell in love and similar to Ariana, and very annoying about it. But but I also had very much dark times in the past. But I
I was going to say that's very earned. Give yourself that credit.
Yeah, see, definitely.
See yourself from our point of view right now.
Yes.
The thing. Yeah. Well, yes, yeah, true. I don't know. Maybe that's my abandonment issues being like, I need to hedge this bet. But I. The big thing to me that I didn't understand before that I feel I makes me see the song in a different way. It's not just the idea of like seeing yourself without like accepting you for all your flaws, but accepting yourself in a way that you want to be better, but you're also enough, which is so tricky. It's like a paradox. Like if you love someone, you don't want them to change, but you want them to be their best. So you're almost like with them on the journey. It's not that like, oh, you're perfect, don't change. It's like, oh, this will make you feel better, then yes, I support you. But you're also enough. And that's, yes. I think, what she means. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
Not that and you're perfect. Yeah.
And this was the other thing I had forgotten that I wanted to say about it, which is that, like, I think as someone who, you know, she obviously was a serial monogamist. She was not, and often serial monogamy is, the truth about it is that it's not that, it's most people, it's not that they're obviously at their best when they're in a relationship, but they're also, they can't be alone. And, and you know what I mean? Like they really can't be alone. Like even having someone sleep over, even if you guys aren't in a great place, just having the warm body adjacent to yours is like a thing. And, and that's really tough. And so, you know, often not wanting to be alone, you don't think about people seeing the other person, seeing it from their point of view, or what, you know, what the song's about. It's almost, it's just mostly like, okay, you're here and you're validating that I am someone that's worth being with. Whereas now she sees it more as like, you're not only validating that I'm someone worth being with, but because that's just dating in general. It sounds a little clinical, but I guess that's the best way I can kind of articulate it. But it also is her being like, oh, you want to be here and I want to see the reasons that you want to be here.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? This is something that me and my boyfriend talked about, is like the difference to me is when you date someone who loves themselves before you meet them, which is the first time, like in my relationship now, I feel like that's true. But before, not that they actively hated themselves, but just like, I didn't love myself perfectly, but the feeling of they love themselves. So you don't feel like you need, they don't need you to love themselves more, but then it feels like when they do love you, it's like this really cool, it's like you don't miss them when they're not there, not because you don't want them there, but because you feel so complete. And then when you do see them, it's like this additional bonus, like I really want to be here. And that sounds scary to someone who used to be codependent, because it's like, you don't miss me? What if you never see me again? What if you just forget about me? But I think the feeling of actually being in there now, I'm like, that's part of it. It's like, if for whatever reason it ends, I respect that it's the best for them. And it's like, but as of now, it's like, it's not this feeling that I need to be there. It's just that like, I'm good on my own, but I love you, you know?
I have a theory of that as well for Ariana. This would apply to, in my opinion, and I there's no way to say this without it sounding, it's so far from insulting, but I think, I'm assuming Dalton is probably a simple guy. And what I mean by that is he's just an uncomplicated person. Mm-hmm. And I think when people, and that's a gift. I say that as a, that's like a skill. And I think some people, it's just coded in their DNA. And I don't even think it's, honestly, I don't even think it's tied to privilege. Cause I know people who like can fall under this in any, my like bestest friend in the whole wide world, I think lives this life this way. And it's so inspiring, which is just that like, it truly is, it's not even about adaptability. it just, you really kind of see it for like, and I hate using this phrase, but for everything, it is what it is, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like they just see it. They're like, okay, that happened. Well, I could be upset about it, or I could have a feeling about it, or I'll just move on and let something that deserves to be upset about upset me.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that's probably where that guy falls under, as one of those types of people, because I think with someone like Ariana, who has so many, you know, she's an employer, she's a star, she's a person who has fans, she has a lot of people she has to, in a way, answer to, even though technically they're also answering to her, but there's a lot more responsibility on her. And so I suspect someone like Dalton is probably just like, all right, you do those complicated things you got to do. I'm hanging. I'm way. Oh, it looks like I got to go watch whatever TV show I love or movie. And I've tried to live my life that way. I try to distill things down as much as I can, because it's true. When you do distill things that way, it is amazing how much easier and like lighter life gets. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Beautiful. I love that. I like this line too. You got more than 2020, babe. Made of glass, the way you see through me. Mm-hmm. Because it's also 2020, the year.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's a little bit of like a reference to her short term relationships, kind of like, you have more than this year. I know, like, we've gone closer during quarantine, but don't worry, like, this is real.
And I got a couple quotes from when Ariana was on Zach Sang about this. The first one is, I think it feels really special because I don't know many songs that have that concept, and I don't think they are there. And I think that a lot of love songs exist already, and to write one that feels like new and a new piece of information and a new point of view, it feels really like special. That's a very special one. I adore Taylor. I love writing with her, creating with her. It's so special. And she also said, of course you love yourself before you're able to fully love someone else. Of course. And this is, she says, of course, a lot. And this isn't really about that. It's just kind of about, you know, how everyone has the little things that you're like, ugh, how could you like that? And you see someone and you're madly in love with, and you love that, and you're just kind of like, I'm floored. And it's like, oof, I want to feel that. Don't we all? Yeah, that's amazing.
I definitely think Taylor was kind of the secret ingredient of this song, because I know Taylor also wrote the title track of My Everything, which is also another great ballad.
Yes. So
I feel like Taylor just has a secret sauce when it comes to these emotional ballads.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, what else did that make me think of? Something... I'll come back to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Whatever you do,
something
just
about that quote.
Interrupt at any time if you remember. What I'll say is that you're right. Taylor does do these kind of, like, she gets the real romantic, like, in the feels songs.
Yeah.
And Victoria Monet does the horny bops. That's the two.
Yes. The winning combination.
Yes. And if you have that, I don't think there's anything. Then after that, you just take it to TB Hits and all her producers, and they'll go ahead and make the they'll go ahead and put it through the factory and make it
I'm a Victoria Sun, Taylor Rising.
Yes. Oh my god.
Oh, I thought of what I was gonna say. So something else from that Zach Sang interview, which I think connects to POV, is the song My Hair. She says that Dalton likes her natural hair, and I feel like that goes with like POV, with like, I'd love to see me from your point of view, because she's not comfortable sharing her natural hair very often, but he loves it. So he loves her the way she is.
Wow. That is, okay. So Teresa and I, our least favorite song on the album was My Hair was one of them.
Interesting.
But just to be clear, I don't think there's a single actual bad song on Positions.
Right.
Like, none of them. I can go through the whole album easily and enjoy myself, but it is one of the songs when I'm listening, if I am going to skip one, it was one that I would sometimes skip. It just at first sounded a little corny.
Okay.
And then when we reviewed it, when we actually went through it, it was kind of had a newfound respect for it. But now hearing that, now I really got to go back and give that song another listen, because that's something. You know, because that is probably her like, you know, her the thing she's most insecure about, and for him to be like, oh no, I love it. That's like, I don't know. I think that's very moving.
Yeah, definitely.
Because to me, it's the same difference as someone seeing like a birthmark or something. That's a little, you know, but just about the most immediate example I can think of, and a person just looking at it being like, I love, it looks so beautiful. It's such, you know, or whatever. And that person is probably always covering it up is suddenly like, oh, I could just walk around with it. Or, you know, they almost have to train themselves to not do whatever the normal way of kind of being discreet about it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Aww, that's so sweet. I'm so happy for her.
Yeah. And then, so we got the chorus where she says, I want to love me the way that you love me, and for all of my pretty and all of my ugly too. Great lyrics. I'd love to see me from your point of view. And our friends at genius.com said Ariana wishes to see her partner's perspective of her, which would help her in accepting her flaws and build up self-love. At the same time, it also helped her feel reassured and secure in her relationship. And then she also, oh, wow, this is this quite next the paragraph. Yeah. Okay, let me take a deep breath here. where she says, ooh, because nobody ever loved me like you do. Ariana Grande has a good counting of high profile relationships, from time spent with long-term late boyfriend Mac Miller to her disastrous relationship with comedian Pete Davidson. All of them failed.
Disastrous.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's intense.
I know. Brutal. Yeah. That's, and it's, wait, it gets even worse. All of them failed in the end, but Ariana is thankful because her current lover, Dalton Gomez, shows affection like no other. It's almost like this fan didn't hear the song Thank You Next.
Yeah. I have to interrupt there and say, yeah, exactly. I don't think they're failures, especially if they help shape her to who she is. I'm not saying you have to go through that, but I would hardly classify them as failures.
Right, yeah. And here's where it gets a little more positive. In spite of the fact that it's hazy how they met, Ariana has been sharing an expanding number of cuddly photographs with her sweetheart, Dalton. They've been together since January 2020. I have a feeling they might have been together sooner, because
I've heard some fans thinking that too.
Yeah, because it really is like, how did they meet? And it almost feels like they met on Raya. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, like, how did they meet?
Oh my God. Well, maybe he sold her house. I don't know.
It said there's a few different theories, because it said that they did meet through real estate and that they met through her team. And then she asked her team to set up a one-on-one meeting with him because she thought he was cute. But there's also rumors that he went to her final tour show in LA. Oh. So they may have been talking or something towards the end of her tour.
I also think that he looks so, he's such a, like, he's literally the opposite of every exciting element of a previous boyfriend. Like, he's just this like square jawed real estate mogul.
Yeah.
And I often think about how that happens very often. You'll hear celebrities usually marry some, like, especially like superstars, like in film, they always marry like an Italian realtor or a French billionaire, and they're like the most boring people. And it's like, do you know how refreshing that must be, that this guy just has to go show a house, and then they get home and they can just put on Midsommar or whatever Ari Aster horror film that Ari wants to watch. And so that's actually like very refreshing. And they probably did have like a really low key courtship.
They're so cute together.
Yeah. Aww, I think they are too.
Yeah.
Several of Ariana's songs show that I might have to skip this because this sentence is infuriating. You know what? I'll read it just to say how wrong they were, which is, several of Ariana's songs show that none of her exes understood how much she loved and cared for them, and that they never truly loved her. Fuck off. Like, Jesus.
It's not dark. What they say.
It's dark. That's like TMZ.com submission.
It's just that she didn't fully become herself yet. So it's like, there's, you know what, the one angle is that they could not have possibly truly loved her because she was not truly herself yet. But it doesn't mean they rejected her. It just means at the time she was growing,
like,
you know?
So were they. Like, I also think that Big Sean clearly is in a much more mature place.
Yeah.
You know, like, even Pete Davidson, I'm sure worked his shit out. The guy like has been so, for, you know, he really is one of the few people, in my opinion, that puts the warning label before he speaks. Like, he's like, look, man, I have some shit I deal with.
Yeah.
And speaking like as a comedian, like, that's a very specific type of self-awareness to have at that age, I think, is almost like a gift.
That's a good point.
Mac Miller, I feel like, was just struggling with demons.
He
loved her a lot.
Yeah, and he was open about it.
Divine,
he was like,
feminine, all that
so,
stuff.
Yeah. And so, like, even, like, you know, and I'm obviously Ricky Alvarez clearly seems to be like in her orbit still on a level where she
fucking
employs him. Like, it's ridiculous. All right. Well, now
on the payroll.
Yeah, exactly. Because she's, well, and Gabby, I'm curious if you know about this. It says here, because I hadn't heard of this. I don't know if maybe you had, Teresa. It says here, an example lies in the unreleased song titled Nobody Does It Better. Anybody know that song?
No, I don't.
I know a few of her unreleased songs, but I don't know if I've heard that one, but maybe I'll recognize it if I listen to it.
And then let me see here. If there was something else. Oh, okay. And it says here, they put the lyric, which says, but I warned you, she wasn't who she claimed to be, and no one could love you like me. And then she says again in a heartbreaking song, Forever Boy.
I like Forever Boy.
I love Forever Boy.
I do too.
Yeah, that's a great, isn't that like a song?
There's two songs on it.
Yeah,
it
was, yeah,
it's
right.
Said to be New Better about Big Sean and Forever Boy about Ricky.
Wait, what's the first song called again? New Better, right? Yeah,
New Better.
Right. Yeah,
and that's written by same one of the writers of Better Off also.
What's
her
song.
Face? I forget her name, but she has a really cool name. She's one of the Seven Rings writers that I'll look it up. It's fine.
Yamza.
Could be. Yeah. I'll look it up, Teresa. Let me interrupt in the middle of. I'll just read a little more of this. The album positions where this verse and the song originated from seems to be filled with songs showing that she has no intent of stopping her relationship with Dalton. What a perceptive, after all talking all that shit, this like very perceptive sentence.
Cadence.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Wow, I haven't heard that name in a while. It's funny, you can associate, she does keep like a very specific rotation of songwriters, and then when you hear that one's not in the mix anymore, I'm sure it's not personal or any kind
she's
of
on Seven Rings.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's just funny. I'm like, when I say a while, it's only been 2 years since Seven Rings came out.
I feel like she has those songs, the ones that I didn't realize Cadence was on, but a lot of them are my like favorite ones in a way that's like not the big pop favorites, but the ones that resonate with me. Mm-hmm. And I imagine like that must be the element of Kate, because it's Better Off and this one. They have that sort of like,
it's interesting,
chill out vibe. Yeah.
Like Dangerous Woman, I think, was the last album where there were a few songs written that she didn't take credit on officially. Like I'd seen, it's interesting. I have a feeling there's some PR person trying to do cleanup on this, but I remember like when Greedy first came out, I don't think she actually had a songwriting credit on it. That was strictly Max Martin and Ilya and that team.
So they went back.
And I think for Blazed originally, that was strictly a Pharrell credit. Even REM, I think she got credit for maybe saying, excuse me, I love you, when she put that part in there. I think that's her, like prior to that, it was strictly, you know, the song that Pharrell wrote for
Beyonce.
And
Wait, you mean Ariana? Didn't get credit?
Yeah. She didn't get credit. It's like, if you go back to her first three albums, she's only credited, I think, on maybe half the songs. Because at that point, I think she was, you know, she was still establishing herself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think more recently that became a thing where pop stars are like, I'm just going to pay to put my name on the, I'm not insinuating that she's doing that. She's obviously much more involved, but like when, because I think that's kind of the difference with some pop stars, like her contemporaries that weren't, it's why I think I don't go back to like, I feel like Selena and Demi, they, I don't know, they never do it for me in the same way. Cause even though Demi has an incredible voice, her album never has that consistent through line. And I don't know if it's that she's just like, all right, guys, go make a bop for me. Or if she has a specific, you know, whatever it is that she's doing or that. And I think Selena kind of obviously has a narrative, but she kind of, I think, sings the same song just with a different
template.
You know what you guys, can I add a tidbit? Did you know that Cadence wrote Black Parade for Beyonce?
Oh.
Whoa.
Might win a Grammy tonight.
This is the crazy thing is she doesn't, I don't know if it's that she's just like, I don't know if it's a sign of she's just really picky and choosy or what, but like she doesn't have a long list of songs she's written, but the ones she has, like, are bops.
Wow.
And I feel people need to be hiring Cadence more.
That's also like the dream. If you hit those, just the right level of bops, that's like, she just lives off that for like 10 years. You know what I mean?
Hopefully,
Well, also the other thing is these are credited songs. a lot of songs that that writers write are sold to a catalog. Like they've already monetized it. It just hasn't. We brought it up before, but I think one of the big ones that we talked about was Bebe Rexha. You know, she sold Monster in My Closet or Monster Under My Bed as Monster. But that was like a song that was just a producer heard it and was like, okay, let's put that here. And so, yeah, I think that that happens a lot. Okay, one of my a great, great lyric here. Still getting good at not leaving. Ooh, that's a real in the moment type of lyric right there. And it says here, people with severe anxiety disorders. I don't know where they got that Ariana has an anxiety disorder. I'm sorry. If you're a pop star.
It does remind me. I don't know if you remember. Ariana posted that scan of her brain.
Yes, the trauma brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that she does have some brain damage from like PTSD from Manchester, which is very sad.
And breathing is about anxiety.
Right, and breathing,
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like when people talk about anxiety disorder here, I think they're conflating it with the wrong parts. I could be wrong because I don't know if PTSD, like, you know, I can't say I've ever, I don't think I've never been officially diagnosed with it. So I'll try and tread very lightly here. But, you know, what she experienced is so specific that to put this as like what it says here, people with severe anxiety disorders tend to be very in touch with the flight aspect of fight or flight. It's like, I think a lot of people, even without, you don't have to have that level of PTSD to experience that. And as someone who is a person who, for her, she's been in a lot of relationships, that might be a misdirection there, but
But well, can I add to that as someone who has been treated for PTSD and is currently dealing with it, in the sense I think they're talking about the specific trigger of your limbic system, because there's the difference between like being flighty in relationships and then there's a difference of feeling. And I didn't really understand it till this year when I really did start healing that those moments you actually lose control, like when you go into your limbic system of fight or flight, it changes completely. And I have to journal through it because I literally will feel like I must get out of this situation. Like I wanted to break up with my boyfriend, but what I've learned through therapy and, you know, talking is like, I just tell him now, I'm like, this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling this, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to have this reaction. And then he just like sticks around. And then when it's over, I'm like, thank you for not bailing. Because that's how I feel in the moment. And it's really tough, but you have to kind of just talk through it and train your body. Every time they don't leave, it starts getting better. But
well, it's nice that you're with someone that's that self-actualized, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Cause like, I feel like a lot of times, I mean, cause for me, like I said earlier, I think there's like a lot of things can be distilled and it's very hard for me not to project someone else trying to complicate my life, that's speaking to my defense mechanisms. So it kind of goes, it's weird because it becomes a thing where you have to really trust the other person and the other person really has to trust you. That's really tough. So it sounds like she hit that sweet spot because that clearly, you know, she has to feel that way. And so does he. Obviously, they have to be on the same page about that.
And it reminds me of Stuck With You also, where she says in that song, like, normally she's like, one wrong move and you're out. But this time she's stuck with him.
So. Yeah, I also love just at the beginning of the song, she goes, this is just for fun. I love that because it also, it's just because I feel like she already preemptively, you know, that song's kind of intentionally corny. That's the point of the song. And it's her already being like, I don't care about your fucking tweets about this. This is literally just we're in the middle of a pandemic. This is just for fun. And she says here, oh man, this is so funny. She says, I'm gonna love you even though I'm scared. And obviously, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that she's alluding to being scared because of previous relationships. But they cite here, in 2013, she stated to 17 Magazine, love is a really scary thing. great. That's just great. In December 2018, she also stated to Billboard that she falls hard easily. This speaks to what you were saying, Gabby, with saying, this is how I meet people. I can't just like meet someone at a bar. Well, no shit. But also, I live fast and full out, and I make mistakes, and I learn from them, and I'm grateful no matter what happens. You know, obviously, she has been in many relationships where she does, like you said, dive right in.
That's so interesting. She says the thing about mistakes, because if you think about it, when we're talking about patterns, she doesn't make the same mistake. She really does. You can really see that. Whereas a lot of other celebrities, and it's okay. It takes me too. I've made a ton of the same mistakes, but I think it took a while for Taylor to get here too, but it seems like she's in a good place now, but she was making a lot of the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Ariana, if you trace every relationship, like she is learning something from everyone and she doesn't ever repeat those mistakes.
They are all cool. Pretty different guys.
They are. Yeah. And I mean, she even has a song called Best Mistake that I think is a beautiful song. I love that song so much. Yeah. And that's also just a great, You're My Best Mistake. They should put that on Candy Hearts instead of.
Like, you should have to give an award when you get married. You should give an honorary runner up like Best Mistake.
And then we got, Teresa, do you want to read this one about the fallen?
Yeah, but now I'm out here fallen, frozen, slowly thawing. Got me right. Connects with safety net. Ooh, I love that one. Ty Dolla $ign verse. Put some ice on you, girl. Let it thaw out. Girl, you're mine. It's safe to say at the end of the day. I love this because also I love a Frozen reference, even if it's not meant to be, because that's also a song about being an ice queen and, you know, running away from your feelings. But she's kind of saying like this idea of like the elemental tie too. I really love like Ariana. I know people don't see her as deep as I do, but I really think she's speaking to the stars and the earth and the elements and like using that like metaphor of water slowly dying. It's like, it's not overnight. It's not like, let's just do it. It's like, this is hard and it's going to hurt, but I'm going to make this recipe. It's like, I'm going to make this chicken or whatever, but I got to do all the things. It's not like overnight and we'll see, who knows if it'll happen, but I know that's what I want, which
I love this mini bridge thing for the end of the song. It's kind of what I was referencing earlier. Like you really hear the emotion. She almost sounds like she's like gasping for air as she's singing in a way. And she's like, I couldn't believe it. And it reminds me of a song by The Weeknd on the After Hours album. It's called The Hardest to Love.
Whoa,
And there's a part on that song where he's like, I can't believe you still love me after all the heartache, after all everything I've done. And it kind of just reminds me of the same thing that Ariana's saying, that when someone is like truly loving you, you're like, I can't even believe it. Like, I can't believe this is reality. Mm. And something that's just so emotional about that. And
yeah. I think I also think that that's why, by the way, Safety Net top two for me on this album. Behind, that's like truly, that song has like the perfect swirl of so many things, not to mention like there's a bridge there, like towards the end where she just sings a cappella that every time I listen to it, I just get moved. And but it's also interesting that her and The Weeknd did Off the Table.
Yeah.
And also like where he was at with After Hours, it's kind of that's his Thank You Next. If you really think about it, to me that album Hardest to Love, Scared to Live, After Hours the song, there's like a whole thing right in that little area, like In Your Eyes, Save Your Tears, and After Hours the song, all of that is like because it's a lot of stuff in there too is also kind of about the stuff he's always sung about, like excess to dull pain and stuff.
Yeah.
But I would argue that like between that and My Dear Melancholy, those are probably the closest. That's him on a very specific level that I don't think that I think is similar to Thank You Next, in that he is like, well, it's not just about singing about the excess, because the thing about singing about stuff like excessive behaviors or having like a lot of like, you know, partying and fucking a lot or whatever, all those things, even if you're doing it to numb out pain, it's still going to sound like it's still going to sound like a good time. You know what I mean?
Like a party. You're going to play a party.
Well, it's like watching a war film and making war look cool. You know what I mean? Like no matter what you do. And so, it's been an hour and a half since I made a movie reference.
Teresa,
are you proud of me? I haven't done
I'm
it.
I'm so proud.
Usually we're like right at the beginning. But anyway, in After Hours, to me, similar to Thank You Next, neither of them try to cover it up with there's no posturing around it. Like it's, I think, a very honest way of being.
I just made
presenting the song.
a tie to the aesthetic of After Hours too, because he's been doing that sort of bandage face. And yeah. I've been calling, like, in quarantine, the really, like, I mean, for the short version is I really had to hit rock bottom before I could do all this healing. But I call it cocooning, because I've been like, well, I'll now cocoon my, like, hole up and really, like, heal. And I feel like I don't love the look of that bloody face, but I think what he's trying to show is, like, this feeling of, like, the scarring. Like, when you're healing, you don't just get to skip, but you go through the scarring part. And the scarring part is when you're really tempted to take off the bandage and pick at the scab, and then you'll go back to your old ways. And especially as it's almost healed, right before it's almost healed, there's a moment where you're like, it's pretty good, I can just scratch it, and it's like, I can go back. That's the push. And I feel like Ariana has come out of that with Thank You Next. And I feel like The Weeknd, like Eli said, is here now, where he's like, look at my scars. This is how I am. It will eventually be a beautiful butterfly. Like, scars fade and heal. But right now he wants us to know, like, he's still hurting, but he wants to heal, which I really like.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And then we got the last little lyric here, which ties to a lot of stuff. And Gabby already brought this up, where she says, all my baggage fading safely. Mm-hmm. It's funny, it says here that Grande similarly expressed letting go of her emotional trauma and strengthening her new relationship on the album cut Love Language, where she sings, leaving my baggage at the door, I'll claim you mine. And additionally, Grande uses the term, it's reminiscent of the song Ghostin', which is my favorite song on Thank You Next. Mm-hmm. We'll get through this, we'll get past this, I'm a girl with a whole lot of baggage. And she contrasts the struggles she faced in Ghostin' by assuring her partner that she is moving on from her difficult past into a safer and happier mindset. Aww. Yeah, I think Ghostin' is like a masterpiece. It's a shame that we'll probably never get it live for very understandable reasons.
Yeah.
But I remember when I heard the first time I heard that song, I was like, I didn't finish the album. I had to go back and I looped it like three times. It's like, this is a hell of a song to put on. Like, to really put it out there with no, if she can't perform it live, I can't imagine how long it took to record it.
Yeah, wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it must be, like, I feel like POV is the inverse of that. It must be a very exciting song to record, because it is, I do think it's such a win-win song, because it's a song about that you get to present to yourself about loving yourself that will also probably inspire other people. But also it's a song that you get to present to your, like, to your fiance to be like, this is how you make me feel.
Yeah.
The fact that you get both of those is like, sweet. Yeah, that's incredible. So, what we do is we, at the end of every episode, we rate the songs on a scale of 1 to 5, but we used to do High Ponytails, but cute. Because what should we do for this one, Teresa? We change it up with every.
Maybe a mirror for POV.
Yes, and then for obvious, it would be how many steps on the treadmill? 1 to 5 steps. So, Gabby, how would you rate the song 1 to 5 for both of them? What are your feelings?
Okay, for obvious, I am gonna say 5 out of 5 steps on the treadmill. Okay. I love it. I think it's perfect. And POV, I'm actually going to give it 4 out of 5 mirrors, just because I personally don't go back to it that often. Maybe it's just because I'm not in a relationship and I don't relate to it. It doesn't go on repeat a lot for me, but I still love POV. But I'm going to give it a 4.
All right. I'm going to do, those are still great numbers.
That's
great.
That's
For me, it's 5 steps out of 5 on the treadmill and 5 mirrors. I think that obvious, it did grow on me a lot, and to the point now when I do listen to it, I'm like, yeah, this is just, it's such a good, like, it's just, I've said it before, she flexes all her muscles on it, like, sonically. It's like, it's something that we don't get too much on these, because even like as amazing as 34 35 is, that has like a very specific type of playfulness where she's almost just like, you know, it's her WAP. That's song. So I'm using a lot of like other people's songs as a reference for other people's songs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, After Hours, this is Thank You Next. But it is like, yeah. And And so I think with Obvious, you get like a really good, like, it's not too heavy-handed in any aspect, but it's also just a well-written song, and it's also well-performed. And then POV, 5 out of 5, just on, even if during the period, I remember when I first heard the song, even though I don't know if it cracked my top 5 at the time, it gets 5 out of 5 just on lyrical content alone. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so, it's just such a powerful song to me, even if it's like on low-key power. It just, yeah, it's just, it's a home run across the
board. Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Teresa?
I'm going to go for Obvious, 4 steps on the treadmill. I definitely like it more after we talked about it. And I think I truly was just being biased for the titles. It's a great song. And for POV, 5 out of 5 mirrors. I love it. I think it's one of my favorite songs. It's very good.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite message. Song wise, it's like, agree. I don't, it's not necessarily the one I play the most, but.
Great way
this conversation also made me like POV more.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, that's that happened every episode.
We saw it through, like, our POV.
I mean, to me, POV, like, here's the thing. Ghostin, to me, it's a great example of like what I feel about POV, which they're both powerful message songs. You're right. That's a great way of putting it. But I would even, you know, but for me, Ghostin also has like the way they, the minimalism of the song. It like hits in a different way. And obviously there's a specific set of circumstances to that song. Whereas like POV, it is, that's, I think, why it really hits for me, even though I don't listen to it as much. It is, you're right. It's the message that sets it really, really high. So
Gabby, where can people follow you and find you and check out your podcast?
Yeah. So the podcast is Young, Beautiful, Successful. And you can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, and I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ariana Podcast. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Gabby Iorio, GABBIEIORIO on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you. This was such a great time having you on.
It was so fun talking to you both. Yeah, so glad we did this.
It's likewise. And check out our podcast. And you can find us at Eli Olsberg and at Larissa T. And of course, Pod Is a Woman with 2 S's on Instagram. And we'll see, by the time everyone listens to this, we'll know if Beyonce got that Grammy or not. Or if Ariana's writer got that
I want Ariana's up for 1 Grammy tonight too, for Rain on Me.
Wins, because I love Rain on Me. I was just listening to it yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, this song slaps so hard I can't actually listen to it at a club.
Yeah.
All right, thanks again, Gabby. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you both.
Bye.